Hello, everyone. Very good afternoon. And I'm so happy to see that it's not snowing on the Burnaby Mountain. And welcome back to CGSF 90.1 FM. I am Pranjali, again, your host for this open mic slot today. And we are broadcasting from the unceded and ancestral territories of the Kwakutlums, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. And this is the campus community radio for Simon Fraser University. And today I want to listen to a lot of music because I just finished, or am in the process of finishing, my midterms. And I feel like we'll just vibe with the songs. And since I'm also presenting my presentation, my conference paper on Friday, I might just like share some snippets of things that I found interesting while I was writing the paper and when I was like rereading it. Because like turning a research paper, which is like 15 to 20 pages long, into something which is like an 8 minute or 10 minute slot when you talk about it at a conference is very different. So it's always very tough to give up some parts of the paper that you really enjoyed because you have to keep in that time frame itself. So we'll talk about something in the slot in the open mic right now, and I will play some music mostly. And to start us off, I selected the music called If It's Not Me by VV Lightbody. Yes, let's listen to that.
What's her name? Does she even have a face? What'd she do? Maybe an actress in LA. Jealous guy, and I am breathing smoke. Suffocating on the fire, getting mileage on desire. The air makes a choke, and I am not afraid of her, and she doesn't know me. I am not in danger. Thank you.
So you were listening to If It's Not Me by the artist Vivi Lightbody. And I think I've played something before as well from the album called Make a Shrine or Burn It. And just to like before begin my discussion of what I found, because like my research tends to look at intersection of something with technology. So before I talk about gender with technology, I wanted to talk about something that we touched upon in the intravenous episode today, which was about the International Women's Day coming up next week, and also different feminist movements, the struggles that women had to face. Not very old, it's not a very pre-history book thing. It was a very reality in the 20th century, and it's not something that we should forget, that more than half of, like, or at least half of the population had to fight so much and so hard to get things that the other half of the population already had. So I'm talking about like the voting rights here, the right to do and stand up in elections and be part of the governing bodies in different countries. And it's not a phenomenon which is really linked to quote-unquote third world countries, but a very true reality of various other societies across the board. So in Europe, in North America, this has been a reality for so long that it's very sad to see what's happening. And inequality also still remains in different fields. Like, I think me and my co-host for the show Intravenous talked about sports and women and how there's like inequality that was covered by CBC, how the soccer team does not get paid as much as the male counterparts in the sport, which is again a very clear example of how there is a need for feminism's movement to continue. And yeah, it's an ongoing struggle, sadly. But yeah, the three feminist movements that generally come up in academia and so on too, these are different time periods and different sort of expectations and demands of the feminist movement over the 150 years roughly. So from now until, let's say, starting of the 1900s, these were like the three main types of demands / movements that happened on the idea of this equality and feminism. And one of them, the earliest one, is called the first wave of feminism. And it is linked to it's different time scale and time period for different countries, but I'm just giving like an overview. So the first wave of feminism began in the sort of late to mid century, 19th century, and continued until the earlier part of 20th century. So I think it gets confusing when I talk about century. So let's say from 1850s to 1920s is what I'm talking about, the years. And this first wave of feminism is closely linked to the universal suffrage movement, which is equal voting rights. This was the primary focus, to have equal voting rights and political representation. This was like the starting of it. Yeah, because men were given, even where places women were given right to vote, men's vote counted more than that of the women. So an equality in that sense, to choose who governs you or what sort of laws are made and rights are provided, representation of women was demanded in this first wave of feminism. And this sort of this idea of having equality in the political realm is not very new. It's the sparks of this started in the quote-unquote Enlightenment period, which is when we had distribution of printing, so printing press came in, so 1600s, so this idea always was there. So French Revolution also saw parts of where like women wanted to be represented, particularly women who were part of like the poorer or like the rural areas. They started to demand these things, but really this got an action in the 19th century and 18th, yeah. And an important sort of marker for this first wave of feminism was the Women's Rights Convention that happened in New York in 1848. And from the information that I gathered for this episode today, it says that Elizabeth Cady Stanton, a legendary activist of the time, fought to grant women the equal right to vote. And she proposed and passed 11 other related resolutions. And after a long struggle that we tend to forget, we're just like, okay, demand was made. And it got fulfilled. No, there was a long struggle. It's not happening in a year or so. It's happening over the years, over the time. And we should not forget how hard it is, hard it was and it is to ask things as a woman, let alone if you are like non-gender binary. So like they have so much to deal with. But for even for women, it's very tough. So yeah, this was sort of like blurred into distance by the Civil War that happened, American Civil War. And it came, it was like, it was still present, like this idea of like having equal rights was still present. But this was like sort of did not reach the complete, let's say, the complete resolution that it did. Wanted to. And before I get into like second wave and third wave and what is happening right now with digital media entering this frame and hopefully decreasing the time around which we have to struggle. So maybe media plays a positive role, maybe it does not. So we'll see after this song, which is called Cat's Cradle, and it's by Tiger's Jaw. And this artist, I've never heard anything from them before, but I feel like their album, which is called I Won't Care How, I have not heard any of their songs before, so I'm really excited to see what sort of other tracks they have. So I might just play one song after the other. And yeah, because the next one is called Hesitation, which is a very good title. So we'll see how it goes, and then I will maybe continue playing some tracks on this album itself. So yeah.
Thank you.
Great. So you were listening to back-to-back songs from the band called Tiger's Jaw. And the first song that I played was called Cat's Cradle. And the one that I just played was is called I Won't Care How You Remember Me. And it is also the name of the album. And it was quite a ride. So I like the song. Okay, now on to second wave of feminism. And I just wanted to say that I am not an expert of any sorts on this. I'm just like sharing the information that I found on the internet and in some of the books that I looked. And I found something, this might be something that interests you guys as well, like knowing what feminism actually means and what sort of like movements we had in the past is a good foundation to when we talk to people who don't understand what this is. And also it is good to bring up as a topic, as is climate change. So yeah, let's talk about climate change and feminism more. Yeah, that's my only request. Yeah, now onto the second wave feminism. So this started in the time frame sort of 1960s until 1970s, or you could even say like mid 1970s, or especially like in America, if I talk, it also like lasted until 1990s. That is how some scholars see it, because this is varied for different people, because what they understand as feminism or the demands or what they understand as equality is very varied, and it is very different. It is dependent on person's experiences, thoughts, and lived. They have their lives, and they see what might be beneficial for women as in general, in broader sense. So everybody or different clans of this movement had different demands. So this is the timeline also differs, because like these demands were not fulfilled like in a year or two, but had a different time when they were fulfilled. So yeah, and this was the second wave was definitely focused on this intersectionality of gender and race. So it happened around the civil rights movement and sexuality, and talking about reproductive rights of women was very, very central to this wave of movement. And they wanted to fight against the restrictions on contraceptives, domestic violence, violence at workplace, and rape culture. So I think Roe v. Wade also falls under this time. So we really saw big strides in feminism happening during this time. But it is so unfortunate that I'm talking about this and Roe v. Wade has been overturned. So yeah, sad state of affairs. But yeah, this is what the second wave of feminism was in the United States and North America generally. And they demanded for, but also like just a sideway, the budget of BC that was announced just yesterday has offered free contraceptive pills, which is, I think, a good step. I'm not saying that's this is the last step or this is the final or this is the best step they could do. They could do so much more. But I think the making these pills free is a very good step in the direction of allowing women to decide and giving them the rights to make the decision about what they want to do with their bodies. So, yeah. It's a good step. I welcome that step. And the second wave was also like connected to political and other social movements like LGBTQ, the anti-Vietnam War movement, which happened in the States as many people were against the brutal violence that happened in Vietnam, and the civil rights movement, as I said before. So there were like several protests happening on the road, but also there were something that was happening on the Miss American pageant, so which objectified women like way too much than it happens today. So during this pageant, as this website says, it says women threw heels, makeup, and all sorts of things to showcase their displeasure. So yeah, I think I should check out some of the clips if you can find of Miss America pageant during this time. So yeah, Looks interesting. Okay. And there was also like different books and posters and advertisements, which were like a very, very important social communication tool at the time, also started to depict women empowerment and things like workplace and pay equity also started to begin. This is what the third wave really looks at, but the ideal started to spring in the second wave. And it was this wave actually had a lot of issues at its core, and because of this and of the timeline that it went through, it was sort of like fragmented across different areas. So this wasn't just like the previous one. It couldn't achieve all its demands, which is, again, very sad, but this is what happened. And the third wave started in the end of 1980s and more into 1990s. And this had like a more sort of like inclusive and holistic approach of broadening the actual meaning of feminism, what might mean, because initially feminism just focused on like women's role, equality and empowerment and all those things, but now it also included the LGBTQ movements and also the women of color, which was very, very important. It also tried to correct the failures of the second wave, which means that they wanted to make it like less fragmented, and like patriarchy was seen as the culprit and not like othering other groups. So not othering, women of color or immigrants at the time, and all sorts of sections of society. So it was like feminism as it is now can really relate to the third wave of feminism, which included not only women, but also the rights for the LGBTQ and women of color. So, it was also inspired by the quote-unquote postmodernist movement, and also focused on, again, the gender identity and diversity of women. So it was not like one size fit all movement, but it really embraced the idea that feminism can mean different things, and we should have like more and more issues under this umbrella and try to target them because they are the products or the effects created by patriarchy. So they are the culprit, or the capitalist society that functions in that. They are the ones who need to be targeted. That is the sort of three movements. And some scholars still debate that the third movement is finished and fourth one started, and that there is a contention in understanding how fourth wave or some even say fifth wave of feminism is going on. But apparently, it is understood that we're right now in fourth wave, which means that there is, in this movement particularly, there is a very big focus on achieving equality. And it is vaguely started in 2012, so like 2010s is the period, which talks about issues of sexual harassment, body shaming also is included in this, which is resurfacing right now, or like has been on surface for long because of internet and how social media exasperates the problem. So yeah, as I said before, the fight for gender equality, we should not like just see it through the lens of that these are different waves, these are different demands, but I think as something, a struggle that has been ongoing and it's still going, and we need to really do something, because like for far too long we have been disadvantaged without any reason, like why, I don't understand. But yeah, we can definitely debate about this more and more, but I would like to play a song which is called Driving in Style. I'm not sure if it's a very hard rock poppy song, but we shall see. And it is